This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here. It's The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs, and my co-host on the phone with me, Jay Baker. Jay, it's so great to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, I am doing great. I hope you are as well.
Hope you're having a safe summer. This is the time of year we start to talk about fireworks safety with the 4th of July coming up right around the corner. The list pretty much stays the same. I mean, fireworks safety has been the same since fireworks were invented in 1000 BC. but this list is worth mentioning, not only every year, but maybe a few times a year, because people pull out fireworks more than just on the 4th of July. So let's jump into this list. Never allow young children to handle fireworks. A lot of this stuff is obvious. I mean, you wouldn't hand a Roman candle to an 18-month-old, would you?
No, you wouldn't. And as you said, many of these ideas and rules and guidelines are based on, it just sounds like logic. So as you said, let logic dictate. Everyone knows real little kids under the age of five, they pick out crappy fireworks. So don't let them handle it.
You know, and you said logic is, excuse me, I just had a firework in my throat for a second there. You said, you know, a lot of this is logic. But yes, if you think about, like, you know, Generation X, there's a lot of online chatter and memes going around about, oh my gosh, I got to take a drink of water here.
This is firework safety and throat safety combined into one.
Never light a firework in the closed room you're in. It sounds like I have a firework in this room. Okay, so with young children, if you think about, you know, I grew up in the 70s. You also were probably in your adolescence in the 70s.
Yes.
A lot of our parents back then let us do a lot of stupid stuff. You know, there weren't a lot of laws. There weren't a lot of insurance problems. I mean, no one knew back in 1974 that you weren't supposed to hand a four-year-old a bag full of fireworks you got off the interstate while driving through Alabama. So if you're, you know, let's say you're a 54-year-old person now and you get nostalgic about the fireworks you used to play with when you were a kid, and there was luckily not a problem, you didn't blow off a finger, you really got to think, okay, times have changed. You got to use logic.
Sure.
A child should not be handling these fireworks. I know.
No.
We're sort of going overboard on the first one here, but.
Well, we kid around a little bit, but yes, I think that's a self-evident truth, is that you wouldn't put anything dangerous in a child's hands because they don't have the same judgment that an adult would have. So you're relying on them to make the decision. You as the adult need to make decisions for minor children. We know that.
And not only young children. I have a really good friend who burned down a garage when he was 14, and it was a firework story. So, you know, even if your 14-year-old is 6 feet tall, seems mature, you know, that's mm-hmm. still not a good idea to have them with a gallon of gasoline, a bunch of fireworks, and a lighter.
Okay, no, so it's serious.
Jay,
yeah.
These tips, I should have said this earlier, are from the National Safety Council. National Safety Council, and they're listed on their website, nsc.org. nsc.org. Number two feeds into number one. Older children should only use fireworks under close adult supervision.
Yes.
If you don't, then you may lose your garage. Never use fireworks while impaired by drugs or alcohol.
And while that's very important.
While that seems, you know, like you said, logical, it's something that can be overlooked easily at a 4th of July cookout or party because you've been drinking some beers through the day. I mean, no one's saying you're an alcoholic or that your goal was to get hammered. But if you're at a an event, a cookout, a family get-together, and the sun's out and you're dehydrated, maybe you didn't eat, and you had a few beers, you might be impaired and not even realize it, and that can lead to disaster with fireworks. So keep a close eye on your alcohol intake while you're dealing with fireworks this 4th of July. Anyone using fireworks or standing nearby should wear protective eyewear. Now, I don't remember that one on our list last year. So
no, it sounds like a good idea, yeah.
And while you may think, hey, I'm not being Mr. Dorkfest while I'm lighting off the fireworks for my family in the backyard, I'm not wearing goggles. You know, maybe I would say, when I glanced at this one, I thought, you know what, make a game out of it. Get your kids and give them, the goggles are cheap. Like safety goggles are very cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you might even be able to get some at the dollar store, but get some cheap goggles and give them to your kids and say, hey, paint these up for, I'm going to be Captain America and light the fireworks this weekend. So I need some, you know, they might have fun painting red, white, and blue stripes on the goggles, on the side of the goggles for you.
I like that idea.
Let's see. Never hold lit fireworks in your hands. That's an obvious one, but worth mentioning because there are hundreds of fingers lost every Independence Day weekend. Never light your fireworks indoors. If you do, you'll have a cough fest like me. Only use them away from people, houses, flammable material. A lot of disaster videos that go viral are when some moron takes a Roman candle and points it at somebody.
Yeah.
I saw one recently where it was a front yard, and it all got caught on the Ring video camera. Boy, the Ring video camera has really helped the virality of social media.
Yeah, it's a game changer, as we like to say.
But there was a family on the front lawn, and you know, there's blankets, and everybody's sitting around watching Dad light the fireworks, and the Rome, I don't know what it was, but it had a base and it was supposed to shoot straight up. Well, it fell over and it shot right underneath the minivan. And I mean, the minivan catches on fire. So,
wow.
That's not even attempting to aim it at somebody. If you do that on purpose, I mean, just don't aim any sort of firework at any building, person, or thing. Here's a great one. Never try to reignite what we call a dud or a malfunctioning firework, because I've seen this personally where you light one, you think it's a dud, and you're like, well, that's not going to go. And so you mill around and you're fishing around in your cardboard box for the next thing you're going to light, and no one's paying attention. And all of a sudden, the thing you thought was a dud takes off.
Yes.
So don't walk up and try to relight it. Have a hose nearby, bucket of water, just douse it with water to make triple sure it's a dud and it's not going to go off in your hand when you try to dispose of it. So we just mentioned the bucket of water. That's a great one. Fire extinguisher, maybe. Illegal fireworks, don't use them. Now, I'm not very well versed in what's legal and what's not. I think if there's a store, you're in good shape. If it's a guy in a van on the side of the road, I don't know.
I think the guy in the van on the side of the road has been a good guideline for any item of purchase for any occasion. The potential of it not being legal is at least there.
It's there. And I think of Joe Dirt when David Spade's talking about the Whistler Doodles and all the other illegal fireworks that he wants to buy or sell. Sparklers, seemingly innocent, but they can be dangerous. Jay, sparklers burn at about 2,000 degrees.
Yeah, they're actually maybe some of the most potentially dangerous fireworks of all, because they're close and they're amazingly hot.
2,000 degrees. And it's no big deal for a dad to light the sparkler and hand it to his 3-year-old daughter.
Sure.
I say that because I did that. And, you know, you write your name in the sky and with the little glowing stick. And but yeah, they can ignite clothes quickly. They can ignite anything really quickly. It's hot metal in your hand, 2,000 degrees. So be aware the sparklers are dangerous. And here's the final best hint we can give you. Get a blanket or a lawn chair and go to your civic community fireworks and let the professionals handle it.
I like that already.
I know around where we live, Jay, there are so many great community events centered around fireworks. So you could, if you're addicted to fireworks, there's probably a five-day period where you could go to a different town, ville, or burg, and watch an amazing professional fireworks show.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I am indeed very fortunate. I live in a community where they take 4th of July really seriously. And you're absolutely correct. The municipal fireworks display, which is part of your tax dollars, my friends, just go out, sit and enjoy. All I do is rack up negative calories sitting in a lawn chair, but I am at least safe.
Now, you don't go overboard on safety when you go to your town's fireworks show. You don't bring a bucket of water and eye goggles, do you?
I have been, but I now know that it's okay to not bring those items.
Well, again, the safety list.
You jump up in the middle of it and yell fire and then pour the bucket on all the people around you.
Yeah. Bring a hose and a sprinkler. These safety tips for fireworks awareness are available again on the National Safety Council's website. It's nsc.org.
Well, and here on the Adam Ridge Show, we do kid around just a little bit. But the one thing that we have found, and we've done stories on this in the past, is the 4th of July time period is the most visited time in the emergency department at your local hospital. So please stay out of the emergency department. Think ahead and be very moderate and careful with alcohol, because sadly, many of these things kind of start off with poor judgment. Here's kind of a cool thing. When I first heard this, I thought, well, this is silly. Then I went back to it and I went, it's pretty cool. A guy by the name of Greg Barton did something pretty impressive while raising money for a worthy cause. Barton played every Foo Fighters song in a single setting. He's a rock and roll drummer. So they piped in the songs over his headphones, and he played 128 Foo Fighter songs over the course of 9 hours.
That's so cool.
See what I mean? When you first hear it, you're like, well, that sounds crazy. But then when you hear it, you go, well, that's kind of cool. Barton called it one of the hardest things he's ever done. You can see in one part of the video, my left hand had a big cramp, but I thought I needed to carry on. Pure adrenaline carried me through. His marathon raised more than $7,500 for the Cancer Research Institute.
That's so great to hear. I mean, we've done a lot of stories of we had one last week where I think the motorcycle ride raised $1.8 million, I think the number was.
Yes, so, the Kyle Petty Freedom Ride.
Not every major charity event has to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to make a difference. I mean, here's one guy that raised almost $8,000. Imagine if all 300 million people in America, each one raised $8,000 to help cancer research. I mean, that's a ton of money. That's great.
Yeah, that is great. You, by the way, can check this out, as you can many things on YouTube.
You know, you can see.
I love the YouTube.
You can see a lot of things on YouTube. You're right.
Really can. We'll just leave it at that.
If you're not aware of what Jay speaks of, YouTube, yeah, there's a lot to see there.
It's a rabbit hole. I love it.
Nine hours of playing the drums. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to play the drums. But if I had a couple of sticks, I mean, I could make some noise. So I don't know if I could just sit there and make noise on a drum kit for a half an hour before I'd have to, like, just put my arms down and rest a little bit. This guy must have a cut upper torso.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And I guess it begs the question, Is the video that's on YouTube 9 hours? I didn't check.
You know, that's the first thing I thought of when you said you can watch this when his hand cramps and he dropped the drumstick or whatever. I'm like, who's you? There's 9 hours of this on YouTube?
Well, you got to watch it for almost 5 hours to get to that part. That's the dramatic part.
Your hand will cramp on your computer mouse fast-forwarding through this 9-hour video.
It will.
Talk about a great way to maybe get to meet Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. I mean, how can the Foo Fighters not invite this guy backstage?
Oh, they've got to bring him up for a show. That would be great.
I certainly would if I were Dave or anybody in the band. You'd have to get a know about this. Somebody, 6 degrees of separation, would have. Somebody's listening to this show right now that knows Dave. That's going to say, "Hey, did you hear about the guy that did 9 hours, 128 Foo Fighters songs to raise money for charity? Maybe you should have him at a show." And Dave's the kind of guy he would not only have him backstage. He'd bring him on stage to play the drums.
Yeah.
Dave does crazy stuff on stage at a Foo Fighters concert with people in the crowd, bringing them up to play instruments or sing. This is an opportunity, I think, for Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters to make this even bigger.
Yeah, I agree. So be watching. In fact, we'll keep an eye out for that, definitely.
I challenge you, Dave Grohl, make this even bigger.
Make it even bigger. Hey, you know, we talk a little bit about fast food. We talked, I think, not too long ago that the numbers do seem to be down for fast food. Most people viewing it as a luxury and maybe not eating as much fast food as they did in the past. That can be both good and bad. You know, the economy sort of works better when we're all participating, and we don't want you to eat tons of fast food to, quote, keep your local fast food place in business. But there are some new figures that suggest that fast food, at least income-wise, is doing as well as it ever has. And I found this to be interesting. When you talk about fast food sales, who do you think the number one fast food retailer is?
Well, I think by categorization, and I'm smelling a trick question here from you, Jay. So I think knee-jerk reaction, you'd answer McDonald's. But I think if you really think about fast food and the definition of it, you know, counter service, walking up, ordering something, getting a bag, leaving. I would think maybe Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts.
You actually guessed very well. McDonald's is by far and away the biggest fast food distributor, but Starbucks and Dunkin' are both on the chart, which does underscore that coffee is still very big in our country.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation last week about how I never really drank coffee until I got into my 30s. And, you know, back in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, you just didn't see a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts every 5 feet. They, you know, I know Dunkin' Donuts was very prevalent on the East Coast. And maybe you did see them every 5 feet in the Boston area, some really metropolis area. Heavily populated, but nowadays, I mean, even the mom and pop shops, Tim Hortons. I mean, there's so many competitors. There's a freaking coffee shop every 5 feet in America. I think the coffee marketing has worked.
Yeah, it really has. Well, and I think Dunkin' Donuts pulled itself back from the brink because, you know, just a pure donut shop was not very popular. You know, we were a country where you could buy bread at stores in every strip mall in the country. Then we collectively went on this sort of low carb turn, and many of those bread stores are now out of business. So Dunkin' Donuts did well to reinvent themselves as a coffee destination.
I did see one of these networks like Bravo or possibly even the History Channel. They have a show called made in America, or I know I'm butchering this, but it's some sort of industry in America and how they were born, and it's sort of a mockumentary, if you will, or a docudrama, like they reenact boardrooms at the time, how decisions were made. And there's a great one about Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts on, both just sold coffee. And then the game changer was when Starbucks came out with the Frappuccino. And their profits, I mean, ballooned isn't the term. And that's when Dunkin' had to figure out, okay, we need a sweet frozen drink to compete. And now, and they've had three or four, I don't know if it's the Moolatti or the Frulatti, or I don't know what it is, but they have just gone back and forth on trying to reinvent and outperform and one-up each other. And both of them have just exploded more than, I mean, a lot of people, if you say Dunkin' or Starbucks, the last thing you think of is coffee.
Well, absolutely. And as you said, the expansion of their menus has helped both companies a lot. But I am still amazed with this list also came the amount of money that these companies made last year. And McDonald's overwhelmingly number one. And the money amount, $53.1 billion.
They grossed $53 billion. That's unbelievable. I wonder what
that's a lot of burgers, a lot of buns.
You remember when the sign used to say, you know, over 1 billion served?
Yeah.
And then it just got to the point where I think all the signs now say billions and billions served. I mean, because
there's no way to keep track of it.
I mean, that'd be a hard job. If your job is to count how many burgers are sold, I mean, that guy. He took a well-deserved retirement, and they just said billions and billions.
He retired early. Well, Starbucks, believe it or not, is number two on the list, $31.6 billion of coffee, breakfast items, as you said, hot and cold drinks, and even the occasional, don't they still sell CDs? I haven't gone in for a while because I usually do the drive-through, but
I forgot they did sell like Christmas CDs or holiday music CDs. I forgot about that. I haven't seen a CD for sale in one. No, we're showing our age now. They're not selling records anymore, Jay.
No, they don't. They sell 45s there, I think. Yeah, but you know, that's a pretty impressive figure. And as we said, you know, Dunkin' gets pulled onto the list. They're in the top 10 on the list. Dunkin' brought in $12 billion last year. So as we like to say, that's a lot of donuts. That's a lot of coffee. And then kind of a surprise on the list is Domino's made the top 10 with $9 billion in sales last year. And the reason why I say it's been a bit of a surprise is Pizza Hut used to be overwhelmingly ahead of Domino's, but Domino's has pulled even and even pulled ahead in some areas of the country.
I'll be darned. Yeah, the pizza industry. I mean, what easier dinner is there than to order a pizza?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of what you and I know as national pizza numbers come from just the fact that it's so easy. And a lot of communities have both Domino's and Pizza Hut in their communities. So even if you don't have great local pizza, you tend to have those national brands available to you. And like you said, it's so quick, you know?
Is the franchise Culver's on that list you have?
Not in the top 10. So I've only got the top 10 restaurants. A restaurant like Culver's, probably more of a regional favorite.
I will predict.
They have outstanding food.
I'll predict they're going to crack the top 10 and move up in the next decade. They're out of Wisconsin. I love them. This is not an endorsement. They're not paying me to say this, but I do enjoy a Culver's. visit, and I've noticed they are expanding rapidly. They're now in Florida. I drove down a street where I live, here in the city I live, a week ago, and there was a parking lot being built, and now 7 days later, there is a Culver's there. So they're expanding rapidly. If you know not what I speak of, and you see a sign for Culver's, take my word for it, pull in, give it a shot. Delicious stuff. And again, yeah, they are not paying me to say this. They can't. It'd be illegal.
Well, and that's why I miss bumping into you every day, because I was more likely to go to Culver's than, you know, when you're not around.
If you ever want to have lunch, Jay, that's all my friends know. Hey, call Adam, go have lunch. You'll probably go to Culver's.
He'll probably go to Culver's. Here's something that's kind of cool. It's a thing. It's known as the summer slide, also the summer brain drain, or some educators call it the summer learning loss. It's what happens to your kids when, hey, they're having way too much fun in the summertime, and they've forgotten that, you know, you need a little reinforcement. In fact, unfortunately, studies have shown that you might lose as much as 2 months of math that they've already learned. So as a parent, I know you're saying to yourself, oh my goodness, one more thing I have to do. I'm so busy in the summertime. But hey, parents, you can make it fun. Think about some programs that you might get your kids to participate in. I know a lot of communities have public libraries that are doing some things. Your local YMCA may be doing things. Even your local schools may be doing things. So there's a lot of things that you can do. But when I heard that you could lose up to 2 months of math that they've learned, I thought they never checked with Adam Ritz, who could lose up to a full school year's worth of math that he's already learned during the summer.
I would experience the summer slide in the middle of the semester in October, especially with math. Yeah, I would lose 2 months of math every month.
Yes, absolutely. Just shooting hoops in his front yard, the kid is losing math, science, anything STEM. A young Adam Ritz is going, you know, perhaps I'll go into radio later.
Well, I will say, Jay, and this will tell you why I feel the way I do about my mom. She made me do a book report every month in the summer. So I had 3 book reports to do every summer growing up. And that's not really a lot of work. I know a lot of kids will read a book, you know, every 3 days. But for a kid that just wants to run around the neighborhood, ride his bike, and play basketball, you're making me read a book, and I have to write a report on it every month through the summer. I had to do that, and I hated her for it.
See, she was mean, but she was on track. She was actually a pioneer, my friend.
She was. And now that I look back at it, well, first of all, I thank her for that. It certainly helped me avoid the summer slide, at least in the arts, through, you know, grammar, English, and literature. But I think she knew that math was such a lost cause on me that she wasn't going to make me do any sort of math program through the summer. I was better off with the English programs.
Well, that was good that she knew that. Yeah, but I think it is. I know it's one more thing that we all have to do, but it's a little bit like, moderation, taking care of things, fireworks safety. Yeah. See if you can get your kids to get engaged mentally during the summer. And the emphasis is make it fun.
Make it fun.
Even visiting a state park can be, kind of brain enrichment.
Without question. State park, your local zoo, studying the animals. I mean, just doing something to make the brain cognition click during this 80, 90-day period where you're doing nothing. All right, Jay Baker, we didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing today. We worked. And I thank you for your efforts. And our listeners, we can't do it without you. Thanks for checking us out. The website is adamritzshow.com. Ritz spelled just like the crackers. That's where you can find a link to all our past programs. You can listen on demand. And all of our social media is on the website as well. adamritzshow.com. Thanks.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.